Reggie, anyway, congratulations, my boy.
Congratulations.
First time talking to you live since then.
It's lit.
My boy's a girl dad.
I know, man.
I felt like I just talked to him because I edited that episode. So.
I know, right? It's perfect timing. You said it. By the time it's released, it'll probably be real.
You got any first week experiences that you'd like to share?
I'm tired.
Yes, sir.
From all the crying.
Honestly, she doesn't cry as much as I was expecting. But she has been cluster feeding, so like we're always up.
Yeah.
And I would assume that if, you know, we were wanted to be negligent about it and not feed, she would definitely be crying her ass off.
Yeah.
But she's just stuck on mom's nips, chilling all night, all day.
Took your spot, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? Kicked me right to the curb. But nah, it was honestly an experience for sure. I definitely did a lot more in the birthing process than I thought I was going to do up front. I was talking to her. I was like, man, I don't even know if I'm going to cut the cord. But I ended up cutting the cord. I held her leg when she pushed. I watched everything. Watched her pull it out.
You looked down there, though?
Oh, yeah. I was hanging out.
Yeah, you got to.
She had to do a look past.
Front row seat.
To me. Yo, but I actually haven't done that yet, so that's, yeah. I'm looking forward to
it. It was definitely an experience.
When I did that in my little situation, they actually let me pull her out.
Oh, yeah? See, everybody got more experience than me, and I got two kids out this bitch.
And I got none.
You're the lucky one.
Oh, man. Really? I guess I'm the middle ground.
Yeah. Look at this nigga. He actually wanted his kid.
I don't know, right?
No.
Nah, no, man.
The nerve.
It's definitely been real, though. Last night was our first night at the crib. Like, first night back from the hospital. Mm-hmm. That was a little rough. But today's been good.
Why was it rough?
Just, I don't know. I guess the transition, like, leaving from the hospital, coming here, you not only have the nerves of like, all right, well, now it's really real.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I know. I also felt like coming back home for some reason would give me more life. It did not. It made me want to sleep more. And, of course, she was up wilding throughout the night. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, hell, I think it's going to be great. She's checked all her health boxes, Pete's appointment a while. So, I mean,
flying. Shit. Turn it up, man.
What's the birthday again?
The 27th.
Okay, cool.
She shares a birthday with Jimi Hendrix.
Hey.
Fucking sick.
Oh, shit.
River Hendrix.
Hey.
Is that what you named
it? Funny. Yeah, actually, and that was the plan well before that even happened.
That's wild.
It was crazy. And we didn't even find that out until the next day. One of my boys texted me, and he was like, yo, like, did you, like, try that? Or, like, were y'all planning that? I was like, yeah, we had no idea. Like, we were planning on doing it all along, really. We had talked about it for a while, and the fact that she had held out until the 27th just happened to be a fucking coincidence.
It's divine intervention. I love to see it.
Goat shit right there.
Welcome to episode 87 of the Pickup Podcast. It's your boy Marcus here, co-host Ant and Reggie back in the building.
Yep.
We're going to get into that college football championship weekend, conference championships, talking about how this is unfolding. And so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Chill.
Yeah. So my boys, it's college football championship week. Rivalry week was crazy, right? We had a whole bunch of coaching hires come in the last 4 or 5 days. You know what I'm saying? They got Lincoln Riley, said peace out, went to Southern Cal. Right after we was talking about the coaching shit on the previous episode. Brian Kelly this morning said peace out at Notre Dame, called a meeting at, what, 7 in the morning?
Called a meeting last night and then told him it was going to be at 7 and held him for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Said meeting in the morning at 7, 2 minutes. Hey, fuck this shit, I'm out. That boy's going down to LSU. Virginia Tech hired Penn State's defensive coordinator. Obviously, we talked about Billy Napier's going to Florida from Louisiana. So it's a lot of shuffling right now, a whole lot of shuffling.
I know what I wanted to ask y'all about.
What's up?
All right, so all right, when I heard about Lincoln Riley going to USC, my first thought was like, why would you go there? But then I heard Bomani Jones talk about how, like, he thinks it's because they're moving to the SEC and, you know, he don't want that kind of competition. So, you know, just go over there and rebuild that. So, yeah, that was my question to y'all, which is, did y'all first of all, was that a shock to y'all that he went there? And did y'all think that was a smart move?
I, for one, love it for both sides. And especially if, you know, I'm not necessarily going to say I love it if Lincoln Riley's definitely running from the SEC. But either way, you go to Southern California where you're already taking most of your recruits to come to Oklahoma from. Now you get to stay at home, build that into what could be very well a dynasty for years to come because people want to be with Lincoln Riley. He already proved that in Oklahoma. Now you get a program behind you. I mean, I'm not saying Oklahoma's program isn't bigger than Southern Cal's, but Southern Cal has already been a dynasty in different formats. Doing it again is something that's well within reach, especially with a weak Pac-12. I think it's a money move for both sides. And I don't know if the deal was confirmed, but I saw like some leaks about what apparently they gave Lincoln Riley to come out there. And I mean, shit, I'd be, you know, you got to bounce.
They gave him Malibu, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
See, what I think about it is, obviously, they're going to the SEC. From what I was reading from my sources, I have sources now. That shit's crazy. But when I was reading from what my sources were saying was that he was not behind the move at all. He was, you know, not really consulted about it. And he was kind of having it in his head to dip at the first opportunity that made sense anyways. So the fact that USC is, like you said, in a weaker conference that's easier to win. Because let's be honest, he's not the Big 12. It's not like, you know, he was already in a powerhouse conference. They had maybe a solid two teams a year that could crack the top 10. And Oklahoma was one of them, right? So it'd be kind of a lateral move with more money. It's not really doing anything more difficult than what he's doing right now. And they're going to offer him all these incentives to go out there. So it's a lateral move without the step down of success because Oklahoma's going to get fucked at least the first 2 years in the SEC. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose at least – I say fucked, but, I mean, obviously we're used to them, like, going, like, 10-2, 11-1, 12-0, something like that. They're going to win, like, 8 or 9 games, and that's going to be seen as a massive disappointment.
They're going to adjust, though.
If they can't get their recruiting together, they might not win 8. They might win the typical SEC average of 6.
I think they're going to get a good coach soon.
What someone said, they're going to be a red Tennessee. I can see that.
Maybe like those first years, because I think if he didn't leave, it would have been different. But now that he left and he's taking a bunch of recruits, yeah, their first few years are going to be probably really brutal.
Me personally, I think that if he stayed, it would be more of the same. It would definitely be a bit more of a, obviously, a talent difference because, you know, they'll probably keep more of the recruits. He'll have a bit more of a program. But I still think Oklahoma going to the SEC will be a culture shock regardless.
They're going to the SEC West at that. So they're going to play LSU, Alabama, Auburn every year, Texas A&M. Like, yeah.
That's suicide.
They're going to lose at least – probably 3 games a year.
I don't think I've ever thought of a scenario, even with Kyler Baker, where like we get to these college football playoff talks and it's like, can Oklahoma beat Alabama? Can Oklahoma beat LSU when they went on their championship run? That was never even a question. You know, it was always like, man, if LSU lines up against them in the playoff, that's a cupcake.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, so obviously they played the Rose Bowl against Georgia. The game was all classic, you know, and they took it to the wire. So they, I think there have been times where they could compete, right? But it's just a matter of, okay, they can get up for one playoff game here. You're essentially playing playoff level opponents potentially 2-3 times a season before you even get to the playoffs. And I don't think that's sustainable. Absolutely not with not. The way that they've been recruiting and stuff. Like, it would be a vast curve for them to try to catch up to. And I don't think Riley wanted any part of that. And so, yeah, if you want to say it's the easy way out. Yeah, and you're recruiting, you know, like you said, against those teams. That shit is not ideal. But this is what they wanted. I have no clue what Texas is going to do. Texas might literally die. Because they were struggling in the Big 12, which, like we already established, is probably in the bottom two of the Power Five conferences. Probably the Big 12 and the Pac 12. But
do you think they can gain some type of push for joining the SEC, recruiting wise? Because people obviously aren't really like, I'm trying to go play for the Longhorns, you know, hook them. That's kind of dying out these days. I grew up in a time where there was the Longhorn Network, and I'm sure it's still a thing. But, like, you know, where did that go? It seems like that's going all out of the water.
So, you know, my girl lives in Austin, right? And her whole family is Texas everything. And so every time I go out to Austin, I see here all that local shit. They 100% still believe in their hearts that they are that. They believe that they are still that. They believe that Vince Young, Jamal Charles, Cedric Benson, Colt McCoy, they're still walking through those doors. And you saw they had one Big 12 championship, and then they did the Texas is back, and then it was back, to the trenches. Had the worst season in 50 years. So I don't think that's the what you really want to have going directly into your next conference recruiting wise, your worst season in 50 years. 5-7, had a 6-game losing streak, right? Not bowl eligible. And then you're going to take that directly into the SEC. That ain't it. And I feel for whoever has to follow that up. Because I don't know if Sarkisian is going to be able to keep this job. I was going to make a drinking joke, but I held it back. I held it back. But at any rate, so we have, as far as championships this week, the Big 12 championships, we're talking about them, Oklahoma State and Baylor. Going to have the ACC championship, which is whatever, Pitt and Wake.
Yo, that's nasty.
Shout out Wisconsin. Shout out Wisconsin for taking that L and letting Iowa back into the Big Ten championship game, because this is the game that we actually need to see. Because, like, we got two whatever games. I need Iowa and Michigan. I needed it bad. Wisconsin and Michigan would have absolutely made me throw up, because we know what's getting ready to happen.
56-0.
And it would have been a waste of everybody's time. And then, of course, we got the pre-national championship, Georgia and Bama, right?
Yo,
and Oregon and Utah.
The BCS national championship.
Right.
The college, the standings just dropped, too. It's Cincinnati at 4, Bama at 3, Michigan at 2, and Georgia at 1.
Yeah, so that's about what I expected. Michigan was going to hop up there. What I don't think is, if Alabama loses this game, they got zero favors for the way that they played 58 minutes of the game. They're getting zero favors for that. Held to 3 points until the very, very end, tied up, go to overtime, and then all that shit after is just mayhem, right? If Alabama loses the game, which I didn't think before, but I think they're actually in jeopardy of falling out of the top four if they lose it. Because at first I was like, whoever loses will just go to 4 and they'll stay there. I don't even know if that's the case right now. Alabama's shown vulnerabilities throughout the season. And this last game, even though it's a rivalry game, that kind of was really the crux of it. And it's just a poor showing at the worst possible time. Because now they cannot afford to lose.
Absolutely not. You also have Oklahoma State, who's looking at that spot if they do, going up against a one-loss Baylor, whose one loss is to Oklahoma State.
I thought Baylor had two losses.
I'm sorry, two-loss Baylor, whose one of those losses is to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, them boys. All I know is that Cincinnati, I think, is a lock as long as they win their game and win it. I don't even think they have to win it that well. They just can't, like, completely blow the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just have to win the game and look okay. And I think they're a lot to get in at four, which is huge for,
I don't know,
G5 everywhere.
I feel like if everybody wins, which is including Alabama and not including Georgia, you still have a big question to answer. Georgia's an automatic lock. Lost or not.
If Alabama wins and Georgia loses,
and everyone else around Cincinnati wins, like Oklahoma State. And I think
Cincinnati goes up to three, Georgia goes to four. Well, because two and three going to play each other. They're not going to put Georgia and Alabama against each other 2 weeks in a row, I wouldn't think. So I think Alabama would probably go up to number one. Georgia would probably go to number three. They probably just flip. And since he would stay at four, if everyone else wins, I don't see Oklahoma State getting over them. If Michigan wins, they're not actually not going nowhere.
I don't know. I feel like depending on the winning situations, you know, if
Oklahoma State leapfrogs in last minute, nuts. I will be highly upset, and the whole season will have been for nothing. Because what, like I said last week, what the fuck are they playing for? Like, you do everything, you beat everyone on your schedule. You get to the top four rankings. You win your conference. What are you playing for if you're going to let a one-loss team jump you? It sends a bad message, I think, about, you know, what they're looking for as far as the competition. Because if that's the case, just have a G5 playoff then. Because that's honestly what they're saying. They're saying there's no G5 team that will ever be able to compete on this stage. So they might as well have their own playoff like the FCS does, which would actually be kind of fire.
I mean – it sounds bad when you say it, but really when you think about it, that would be some fire games.
Like, yeah, I might need it.
So I do
Oklahoma State 5 one last and thing, though. Notre Dame at 6.
All losses, does that mean that the door is open for Notre Dame? So obviously, Georgia wins, Michigan wins, Cincinnati and Oklahoma State lose.
That's what I wondered if they were going to consider. I was talking about that earlier today. So let's say, for shits and giggles, Alabama loses to Georgia, two-loss team. Cincinnati loses to Houston. They're done, period. And let's say Iowa beats Michigan, right? It's a two-loss team. Yeah. So now you got three teams in front of them that could potentially lose, right? Or let's even just say Oklahoma State, you know, Baylor's behind them. I think Baylor will probably jump Notre Dame. But let's say Oklahoma State wins and then – Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati loses. It's two spots, three teams in front of them that lost. And I think they'll get in without Brian Kelly.
Which sucks because Notre Dame doesn't have to play. And you have teams that just beat teams that are getting knocked out. You know, I don't think that necessarily calls them worthy, like a Baylor team knocking out Oklahoma State and being the next eligible team. But, you know.
Yeah. Is Baylor going to jump from 9 to 4 Notre or Dame, whatever?
Absolutely not. They're never going to get in. They might play a New Year's game, but they're not going to get to the 4. I just don't like the fact that Notre Dame is almost an assured, like, last-second lock. You know, if all things go wrong for the teams eligible, Notre Dame is the last team with a chance.
Right.
And they don't even have to play. And they won't have a coach.
Right. And that's why I said all year long, Notre Dame is overrated as shit. The best thing about their schedule is that they lost to Cincinnati. All they've done is beat up on the worst ACC year, probably since, like I said, since the 2004 realignment when they started adding all the basketball schools and the Big East schools, right? So we're talking about the worst ACC year ever, which is half of Notre Dame's schedule. They don't have to play in the conference championship game against the actual best teams in the ACC this year. Like, they beat Virginia Tech and UNC, barely. It's 2-6-6 teams at the ACC, and that was like outside of Cincy, two of their like better games. They played Wisconsin early on and got hype off that. Wisconsin's trash, right? They played Cincinnati and lost. They played USC, and USC ain't shit. They played Stanford. That's another big name they usually play. We've seen they ain't shit. They beat the fuck out of Virginia. They ain't shit. Like, what are we holding? And they barely, the first week of the season, had that exciting-ass game against Florida State. We already knew they wasn't shit then. That should have been the first sign. Like, there's nothing on the schedule. I guess you could actually say probably Purdue is their best win because Purdue has played pretty decent throughout. So they beat Purdue and beat Wisconsin and lost to Cincinnati. That's the best thing about their schedule. And they're going to get into the fucking playoffs if the right teams lose. I don't like that. I didn't think they were even a top 10 team for that reason. They shouldn't even be up here, like, close enough to where this should even happen.
Absolutely.
But fucking, y'all got any picks who y'all think going to win the conference championships? I'm not going to go too deep into it, just, you know, who y'all think going to win.
I think Michigan, Georgia take the cake, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Michigan, Georgia, Pitt.
You know, I do think Georgia.
Oregon. And I think State will probably win it, but I will not be surprised if Baylor upsets them. Oklahoma. That's the only one that I'm kind of really, like, on the fence about because I think Baylor can win that game for sure.
Who does Michigan play?
Iowa.
Iowa's offense is garbage. They have a pretty decent running back, but
– Gotcha.
Which is funny. The dude that sold me my car last week, he was telling you and shit, right? And he was he was, you know, showing me, like, text conversations that he was having with him and shit like that. You know, it was like – He was like, man, he's like, don't be sitting there complaining about the quarterback. You know, like, you the one that, you know, didn't do this. Like, that shit's funny, man. They really be on these niggas' ass, man. Like, even they know. But no, but still, like, that's what I'm saying. Even they know, like, they are not offensively gifted outside at the QB position. So.
And that's why they aren't in this discussion. Because, I mean, 4 weeks ago, I was number three team in the nation.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm going to go Georgia, Michigan, actually. Yeah.
Turn me up.
I'll take Cincy, too. I hope Notre Dame burns in hell. And
I never liked Notre Dame.
Louisiana. I don't have a pick in the OK State Baylor game. I think that's just going to be a fun game. I hope it's a fun game. And I hope whoever is the winner gets treated fairly and Notre Dame burns in hell.
Yo, what'd y'all think about Duke going to LSU? You think that was a good fit?
A good fit? No. It's fit-wise, absolutely not.
I didn't hear the question.
Oh, about Kelly going to LSU. Did y'all think that was a good fit for LSU?
Oh, 2 years.
Yeah, it'd be out of there.
Oh,
get the buyout money ready.
I'm but telling you, maybe got, not even a full season. 95
million? 95 million?
Okay, two full seasons years. For sure. Two full seasons. And then it's a wrap. They'll have to just pay that out.
They'll be paying out Coach
knocking
up.
On Cliff Kingsbury's door.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? I've heard his name is popping up and shit.
I don't think it's real. I just think that he's a likable guy to talk about. But in reality, even though all these spicy offers are being – given to these college coaches, I don't think a guy like Cliff Kingsbury wants to, you know, same reasons for Urban Meyer. You backtrack now and mess up, it's over.
I tell you what, I know Matt Rhule's name is being floated around, and I know this is the Panthers bye week right now. I know he should bounce. He's taking interviews. I know he's taking interviews.
He should bounce.
Oh, thank God. Cause...
And I think Joe Brady is on some people's list as well. I don't know if he's actually taking interviews or not, but I know I've heard at least two places that have Matt Rhule on a list, and I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't heard anything about like whether it's like confirmed he's interviewing
Matt Rhule to the Raging Cajuns.
shit, it might be Matt Rhule. Whenever Notre Dame makes a hire, I know he was a potential talk Notre Dame and Oklahoma is what I have heard preliminary, you know, talks. Is that?
I don't think Oklahoma is going to get a good anything out of this.
Well, I think they're the ones that kind of got signing.
Yeah, exactly.
They did it to themselves. They tried to, because I guess, they're trying to hop on the SEC money wave because, you know, the SEC is a cash cow, you know, with their revenue splitting. And, you know, that's why all those schools got better facilities and they're able to put more into their coaching budgets and this, that, and the third, right? You got Florida out here poaching hires from ACC schools, right? Even though they might not be the better program per se in the last like decade. Florida's been hit or miss, but.
And I mean, he got the money. Saban, the money talks.
Which one, Mullen?
Florida's new coach.
Oh, Napier, yeah. Napier was
under Saban and Dabo, didn't he?
And Dabo. Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator. And I'm pretty sure they said he was the one that recruited, like, Taj Boyd and them. He was the offensive coordinator during that little period.
That's good money spent, in my opinion.
What, Napier?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He was Virginia Tech's number one choice. I know that. And for all intents and purposes,
that's
got to
be a strong whiff.
No, it was. Virginia Tech had, you know, their sights set on him, and that's why I was saying, you know, they need to fire Fuente, like, ASAP, because somebody is going to catch, you know, wind that he is that nigga. And we waited till, like, the second to last week of the season to do it, and then Florida fired theirs, you know, the same week. And then, well, now look, now we're in a dogfight with a fucking SEC powerhouse as far as, like, the coaching shit. And we just can't compete. Like we ain't got it like that.
I think the same conversation we had last week about how selling the LSU Florida jobs is going to be ridiculous is going to be the same thing that Oklahoma is about to have to go through. Possibly Virginia Tech just to run out of options.
Well, Virginia Tech got a coach, so I ain't mad at it.
Ah, okay.
We got Penn State defensive coordinator.
Ah, you did say that at the beginning.
Yeah. Brent Pry, he's a former grad assistant. He was here in the 90s with Virginia Tech, like early on, like right before the Michael Vick era. So he was there when we won that Sugar Bowl over Texas that kind of started the whole elite era of Virginia Tech where they became a semi-powerhouse. So he knows the history, which is big for us.
There when they're getting was good.
He recruited, you know, like Michael Parsons, Yeter Gross Matos, and a couple other dudes at Penn State over the last 5 years. He's well respected and well known in the Virginia area. He took a lot of Virginia's top recruits from Virginia Tech in Virginia. So I think that was also part of it was, I mean, because Virginia Tech's been kind of like losing out on in-state recruiting for the last decade, really. And he was a big reason for that. Being at Penn State and then poaching a lot of our recruits. Charles Huff, the Marshall head coach right now, he was the former coach at Penn State that was recruiting very well. He recruited like Saquon Barkley and all that shit, right? So I feel like getting a Penn State guy, especially one that's been in the James Franklin era where they've been fucking us in recruits at our own state. You know, I think that was probably the number one thing. And then it's just a bonus where it's a dude that was already a part of the program for 3 years back during the heyday. So.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good hire. And, yeah, I think the next 2-3 years might be a little rough, but he likes to play the portal very well also. So I think it could be a little bit of a faster curve because I think that he'll be able to get the portal in pretty good. My main thing is the offense because, you know, he's a defensive coach, so our offense is what was trash this year. So I just need to see what he does as far as hiring offensive coordinators and getting offensive staff and recruiting on the offensive side of the ball. But I'm actually really not that worried. I think it's in the right direction down there. But that's enough on them. This isn't a Virginia Tech podcast, and they don't matter enough to keep talking to them.
Big ups.
Right. Why am I not talking about South Carolina?
Exactly. No, I hope they give Beamer a few years to get his shit together. But yeah, this season was awful.
He's on the way. I truly believe it.
Oh yeah, and I mean he's respected as well. He's got the team behind him, which obviously we've played harder this year than I've seen us play in years, but you know.
Beamer's also SEC. On the short list for Oklahoma as well. Because you know he came from Oklahoma as an associate head coach under Lincoln Riley. So
I think if the bag's big enough, anyone can go anywhere, but I don't think you turn your back this quick if you're Beamer. I think South Carolina, I don't know, man.
South Carolina, I don't know whose bag is bigger.
I don't know whose bag is bigger. Oklahoma's already coming to the SEC. South Carolina's been there, done that. You can buy yourself a few years off of that. I'd rather be in Columbia than Norman, in my opinion.
Well, that is a matter of opinion, but I actually might agree. But
hey, man,
I've never been to Oklahoma, so I can't say. Bigger.
And the bag matters. The bag does indeed matter. They're still paying Will Muschamp to live on the lake. The bag matters.
Yo, I want to say rest in peace, Young Dolph, though. I forgot to do it on my pod. Unfortunate thing. Fucked up.
Man.
Black kids. That shit. But my bad, man. You can cut that, man. Because I guess you don't really want to end the pod like that, but.
Nah, I'm keeping it because, hell yeah.
Rest Dolph in peace, was Virgil, too.
A yeah, staple. And Virgil Abloh, yeah.
Yeah, him too. I just saw that he had his funeral today. So, my bad. But rest in peace, both of them brothers, especially Dolph. And, yeah, man. Y'all stay up. Reggie, take care of that baby.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.